This series, guys, is where we're talking about the DNA markers of Ascend Church, the things that sort of make us who we are. We have a commonality with the body of Christ throughout the world, but there are some pretty specific things to us, and we've already talked about the word and worship, and now this morning, and we've heard it already, witnessing, being a witness of Jesus, getting in courage and going out and sharing our faith and being a witness to Jesus. And so Cara's going to come out this morning, and she's going to share and talk to us about being a witness, making Jesus real. So, to you.
I've got handwritten notes, which I think's really impressive, because everyone knows iPads. So for those that don't know me, I'm Cara. I've been coming to Ascend for actually about a year, because it was just before the church camp last time, and I turned up to my first inter-church prayer meeting on Waitangi Day. And I remember Nikki and Sam there, but I love Ascend, and I love what God's doing here, and I love how deep this well here is that we get to tap into every Sunday. But I'm originally, I hail from Gisborne, Te Tairawhiti. Someone clapping, yes. But I've been in Rotorua just over a year and a half, and when I drove in here for a job interview, I immediately had God speak to me and say, you have come home. And home is Rotorua, and I love it here, and I think I'll be here unless God moves me on till the day I die. But we are talking about witnessing, and Nikki has kicked us off in a good way of witnessing. I work in social work sector, and Rotorua's got very depressing statistics of everything. It's just sad, and we've got the highest domestic violence here, we've got the highest methamphetamine in our wastewater, highest homelessness in New Zealand, and it is very depressing, but I feel like there's so much space and room and responsibility as believers and faith-filled people to be partnering with God on what he wants to do in a place like Rotorua, because where there's pain, God shines bright. And so this topic I'm very passionate about, and I've been mulling around witnessing and what that is and what that looks like and what that means for weeks now. And I'm hoping it's going to make sense. But I think there's a real responsibility that comes with it to help God do what he needs to do in a place like Rotorua, in a place like New Zealand, in a country that needs a lot of healing. And, witnessing. I looked up the word. The Greek meaning, through me, so I'm just not going to go there. It comes from the word martyr, and it went down a whole rabbit hole. But it means to give evidence. It means to testify, to be present, and then to be in the transaction of giving evidence. To witness something is to have the personal knowledge of something. It talked a lot about eyewitness. When you eyewitness something, you're a witness to it. You give an account of what you saw, heard, and watched. And I think, when I think of the Bible, the entire book of the Bible is a book of witnessing. The Old Testament is just people witnessing God and how scary that was for some of them when he revealed himself to them. And so the Old Testament to me is people witnessing God and him speaking to them and him moving and him in his miraculousness and in his wonder and in his awe. And the New Testament is people witnessing Jesus and what he did, his miracles, his teachings, his healings. And so the whole book is built on witnessing. And I was thinking, why does this carry such a weight to us as Christians? And what is our responsibility? What is our role? And it dawned on me that I wouldn't be here if I hadn't been witness to. And there's probably a lot of us in this room that may not have known God's love if we weren't witness to, or felt freedom in areas of our lives, or felt healing deeper than what just a counsellor can do. And I'm saying that as a counsellor. And then you have Holy Spirit healing, and there's a whole other level of healing when God's involved. And so then this whole meaning of witnessing has a new weight to it. And I think there's probably many of us that are here in a relationship with Jesus because we've been witnessed to somewhere in our lives. So, how do we talk about a personal relationship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit? I think we need to personalize it. For me, when I was 18, I had one Christian friend in my life who relentlessly witnessed to me. And I got saved at 25. And in those 7 years, I had a lot of people witness to me and a lot of people tell me about Jesus' love and a lot of people tell me what I was doing wrong in my life and a lot of people tell me to sort my stuff out before I could know God. And I didn't find church a safe place. I didn't want to meet God there, if that's what his people were like. And I was talking to Scott about, this personal testimony, and I was thinking, how much do you share in a church where the kids are in here? And I just thought, I looked up the word mess, and this is what it says. Dirty. Untidy. An untidy state of things or a place. Disorder. Disarray. Chaos, confusion, turmoil, entangled. And I thought, oh, that was Cara Davies. That was the definition of my life in every area. And I, over those 7 years, I had people get me to church. And every year I went to church, I was the first one up at an altar call in floods of tears. And how I dealt with that, with having no skills or a toolkit in my life as a young adult, was I went out and got really drunk because so much had come to the surface and I'd never return the next week. And so this went on, this cycle, for years, for 7 years. I'd be in church and then I'd be very far away from church. And I always thought I had to sort out my mess before God could get to know me. There's one friend and she would come into my room and she'd tell me to get off the fence with God and you're lukewarm and he'll spit you out. And I was usually drunk when she'd say things like that to me and they never went down well. And I was thinking about her style of witnessing and the funny thing is she still sowed seeds. Like she was still saying such truth that it was way easier to have an issue with her than it was for me to deal with God. It was way easier just to, break that friendship off. And so when I became Christian, I probably had been to like 9, 10, 11 altar calls over about 5 years, and never been known how to make any changes, wasn't involved in a church. And so when I became Christian at 25, my life was a mess and I wrote a letter to God on the 2nd of January in 2012. And I gave my heart to God and 2 weeks later, every single thing I knew in my life that I'd built for over 7 years, the relationship I was living with, the job, my friends, everything I'd had in my life for 7 years disappeared 2 weeks later and I didn't see it again. And it was a very lonely and isolating time and there were a lot of repercussions that I had to deal with for years after that because of the lifestyle I was living and the mess that I was in. But God cleans you up. So, what it says in the Bible, let's get to that. Romans 10. How will they call on him? Romans 10, 14. How then will they call on him in who they don't believe? How are they to believe in him of who they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And so I was thinking about what led me to that point of getting saved and the amount of people that had tried to talk to me. And each and every one of them had sowed seeds. And I had to get to that point of brokenness, desperation. I had to get to that point where I just couldn't do my life anymore without God. But this is our responsibility. Like it says in the Bible, how are they to hear without someone preaching? Anyone. Anyone is someone. We are someone. And how are people to know God if we don't talk about him? So when I read that, I was like, this is us. We need to talk about how are people supposed to believe if they don't hear? And then the rest of that scripture talks about how blessed the feet are of those that preach. And anyone can preach. I'm preaching right now. Which says that anyone can preach. So in those early days of my walk with God, I used to talk about God like a really great restaurant and everyone needs to go and try the food. And it's awesome, give it a great review. Go and eat there, it's delicious, it's nourishing. Go and eat there. And I was too scared to deal with my own stuff to eat there. And so people would ask me about God and those that know me, I can talk, and I'm loud about things. So when I started to know God, I was loud about him. But I didn't know him intimately, and so I was too scared to deal with me and God, but I was advertising him to the rest of the world. And so I think to witness naturally and organically and who God's made us to be, we need to know him and we need to go and dine with him and we need to sit there and let him know us and get to know his character and who he is. And in that experience, we build trust. And it's in that trust that it just comes out of us naturally who God is. When we're talking, people are going to ask us questions. When we know God, we can answer them from the heart and someone isn't judged or we're not causing any harm. So it says in Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be gracious and effective so you have the right answer for everyone. So I looked up gracious, kind, compassionate, forgiving. I looked up effective. And effective is to get the desired outcome. So the Bible, I believe, is our talker in how we're supposed to witness. We are supposed to be compassionate, kind, forgiving, gracious, and effective. It says in 1 Peter, in your hearts, honour Christ, the Lord, as holy. Always be prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Do this with gentleness and respect. So the Bible is telling us to be gentle with people where they're at. Respect them, accept them. And I think if we're called to witness and we're called to evangelize, I think it's everyone's role. If we do that with gentleness and respect and we know God the Father, we know Jesus Christ, we know him intimately, naturally, we're out there and people are inspired. My life outside of here, like these are you are the Christians in my life. I don't really have any others. Everyone else in my life isn't Christian. And so my lifestyle is really how I witness. And there are times where they are some questions that are hard, you know. And that is where they hear about my faith. When they want to know, I have to have the words and I have to have a defense of why I'm living the way I'm living. And I think there was one friend I've had my whole life. My mum's down the back. My mum was pregnant with her friend. And they were pregnant together. So my friend Alice, we've been friends since we were bubbas. And she's been Christian her whole life. And her lifestyle spoke to me on so many levels. I was going through chaos and drama and basically a divorce and she didn't have any of that, and she didn't drink alcohol, and she only kissed her husband, and I could never understand her. I could never get my head around her lifestyle. But over those years, you know, we're still best friends. Over those years, her lifestyle spoke such depth to me, and it captivated me. And I was constantly ringing her in horrible situations, constantly ringing her, and she just loved me and loved me and loved me. And her witnessing is what, like, I got saved because of her lifestyle in the end. She was doing something right. She was so in love with Jesus. And that is living faith out in action, eh? That is what people see. When I got saved, I felt this responsibility, like, my lifestyle is the only Bible some people are going to read. That's it. And when they're going to ask you a question, if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, that is your one moment you get to say something about God sometimes when there's that open opportunity. If you try and force it, people feel it, they back away. And if people are going to ask me, I have to know why I'm standing for what I'm standing for. And back when I was 25, I gave up alcohol for 5 years, which is what I needed to do. It was like my hobby. It's like my extracurricular activity. And other people were studying, and I was doing other things. And it was in that people were asking me. And I lost friends. People stopped inviting me places. And I had to say why I had to stop. But I had to have an answer. Because people don't understand you. And you're living differently. When you're being countercultural, people want to know why. And I think in this, I was talking to Scott about this. And I was thinking there's a real part of witnessing that we need to be gentle and respectful, but if people get offended by how you're living your life, it's not on you. You know, people get offended by my Christianity and I'm not even talking to them about it. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. I've become comfortable with that. Because if we're not stirring that up, what are we doing? In a place like Rotorua that needs Jesus to come back to earth right now, if we're not standing for him, what are we doing? And I think, I think God has given us each so many giftings and talents, and so that, you know, we're so uniquely made. He's woven us together with such details specifically for our personality. And if we partner witnessing with the spiritual giftings that he's put in us, then nothing is hard. You know, if we're stepping out like Nikki did and said, hey, can I pray for you? I love Jesus. I think he can heal you. If we're stepping into that and someone gets healed, Jesus has done the work. And that person has just been witnessed to. And we have a responsibility to maybe follow that up and hold them a bit. But I think, like, let me read the Bible. 1 Corinthians. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another, and to someone else, the power to heal the sick. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it is really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, and another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So when I was thinking about witnessing, how powerful is it when we're witnessing with the Holy Spirit's gifting that are inside us? When we start stepping out and we start ministering God's heart to someone else's heart, and we start speaking over the chaos they are living in, a word of truth and hope, and prophesying over a future that they can't even imagine, that's breaking something in that person, and we're witnessing God's love. You know, it's a spiritual gift to have discernment and to pick up spirits that people are carrying and to be able to speak to that. And I feel like every single person in here, we have all these. And Paul wrote this to build the church up, to encourage each other, to build our faith, to spur each other on. And it's if we step out of our comfortability, that's the cost to us. Someone's life could be changed. If someone gets to meet with Jesus because we got uncomfortable, I think there's a comfort zone in Christianity when you're used to being in church and having Christian friends. We get comfortable with each other. And when I've been thinking about this message for the few weeks, what has just been really heavy on me is if someone just asked me why I was Christian, what would I answer in one sentence? You know? Oh, I love Jesus. Why? I know God. Do you? He's not anywhere I can see him. You know, it's like, what is our answer from our heart that someone can relate to? So I feel like this revelation of our salvation is what comes with witnessing. And it's easy when we're operating with the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us how to do it. Just love people in our actions with gentleness and respect, with graciousness and be effective. The Holy Spirit prompts us. The Holy Spirit is what helps us tap into those healings, tap into that word of knowledge, speak truth over someone. And if we're doing that with the Holy Spirit, it's not on us. He's doing the work, you know. Jesus is a witness to God, and the Holy Spirit is a witness to us. And I think witnessing is just partnering with God's heart. And if we're in love with God and we're working on our relationship with God like we would with a human, we are just naturally going to be witnessing with the right answers. So my challenge to us is just to know why we're saved. In one sentence. Someone said to me once, and I'm rounding up, Scott, I feel like you're... someone said to me, you should have a testimony for an elevator ride, for a 10-minute cab ride, and a half an hour one if someone asked you to speak at church. And it's always dawned on me, like a 30-second testimony, you know, like what would you say in an elevator or something, or a 10-second one? And if someone said, you know, why do you believe in God? And so I'm asking all of us, why do we choose salvation? Why do we believe in God? I think of poor Scott. I was sending him photos of my notes and they were on A3 paper in Vivid. And I was just writing notes and I've put them down to one handwritten page today. But I think I've kind of said everything I wanted to say. I think we need to be bolder and more courageous and step out. And if anyone wants prayer, I want to pray. I want to pray for boldness, for courage. I want to pray for people to know their spiritual giftings and to enhance them and to step out in them. And that if you don't know God the way you hear other people talking about him, that you would know him today. You'd know his love for you. And I want to pray that you would see yourself how God sees you and the giftings and the talents that he's put in you. And I want to pray for people to have a total refreshment of their faith. Because in a place like Rotorua, we have to witness. People's lives depend on it. And that carries a weight. They need to experience God's love. That is what heals. Amen.
That was awesome. You know, that was amazing. I'm really considering early retirement, to be fair. I'm just like, man, I get to listen to this stuff during the week when I'm editing it. And I'm like, that's a great point, you know? So look, you may have heard your last of me. But to have that quick testimony, I remember one time I had been asked to be a part of this panel at a conference we were having at our university about Christianity by the local Christian club. And I was supposed to be the to bat, you know, cleanup at the end, the last guy. And right as I got up to preach, a guy comes up in front and holds up a sign that says 2 minutes. Oh. And someone very near and dear to my wife and I was in the audience who I really wanted to speak to her. And I remember I just got the mic and I just said, you know, I once was blind and now I see. And then I prayed for the thing and handed the mic to the organizer. And we closed down and that gal came up to me afterwards, just tears streaming down her face. Guys, it's exactly what Cara was talking about. You just do what's in you. Cara is just a firecracker of vibrancy, and let her be the mouthpiece for Jesus, amen? She likes to talk. She wants to talk. She's bold about talking. She's going to do it. And then there's Nikki, who's like, man, I'm going to go out and get people healed. And we got a worship team up here who's like, we'll just worship with amazing voices. How about those harmonies this morning? Amen? You know, it's like there's people with intellect and people with leadership. Let's be a body. And exactly how Cara started this off, let's make evidence for Jesus. Let's make him evident. So we weren't going to worship afterwards today. We were just going to say, go over to Ross and Charlotte's, go to the lake, whatever. But what we're going to do is we're going to compel the worship team up. Amen? We're going to, and Cara and Jabron and a few others, they're going to pray for people in the back to have that filling. If you need to know those gifts, if you need a refilling, if you want to know how God wants you to evangelize, if he wants you to be a mouthpiece, if he wants you to be an evangelist, if he wants you to be a preacher, if he wants you to be a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, go back and get prayed for and let's find out what's going on. So Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that we are a body. We thank you for these amazing people who lead us in worship with their gifts. But at the same time, Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you've given us. For as each has received a gift, let us minister it one to another in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and just worship. If you got to get on with your day, folks, if you got to get on with it, by all means, take off. But we're just going to sit here and make sure people get filled.